This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And I'll start this off by saying, Merry Christmas. You are at war. We typically see spiritual warfare jumping up this time of the year, particularly against couples. And from Thanksgiving Day through the next 4 days, I went through a lot of severe warfare with attacks at 3 a.m. the first 2 days, 1 a.m. the next day, and then the fourth day, the warfare just began straight out early evening all the way into 3 a.m., the next morning, and a lot of wrestling and praying and getting attacked with all sorts of crazy and fear thoughts and lust thoughts and the whole thing. And I share these things because this time of the year, we really don't think of spiritual warfare, but when Jesus came into the ecosystem here on earth 2,000 years ago, he was born into a time of intense spiritual warfare where Herod wanted to kill him. And then when Herod was thwarted, he got angry and slaughtered the male children in Bethlehem. And that was prophesied, I think, in Isaiah, where he talks about Rachel not wanting to be comforted because she's lost her children. So I share these things because I know a lot of you are going to be going through something like this time of the year. And yes, celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Jesus' birth. Worship our Lord, but also equip God's people in how to be spiritual warriors during a time of darkness. We cannot set this aside. The enemy is not going to take time off. So, a few things before I get to my guests. Saturday, January 25th, I will be leading a From Porn to Grace conference at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Aylesbury in the United Kingdom. Time will be 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, that's Saturday, January 25th. And the preceding weekend, January 17th through the 19th, I'll be in Finland speaking. So if you happen to be in one of those two countries and you want me to come and stop by or share, then please contact us after the broadcast. You will hear our contact information. And at the same time while I'm there, we're in the process of creating a video series I've talked about before. It's a 6-part video series on freedom from porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, what the healing process looks like for men and wives. And I also get into youth. And that's going to be released in the UK first. I'm thinking around the end of January, and I'm scheduled to be there from the end of January into February to help the organization get the word out and promote it. So for one thing, we could use your prayer because the enemy does not want these topics that we talk about here exposed. And the last time I went to the UK back in October, it was just a lot of all-out warfare the first week or so that we were there. And so we do need prayer. There is an intense spiritual battle. But video series are not. There's a battle around these issues around sex and some of the other issues we talk about, it's spiritual warfare. So I covet your prayers for us. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we could surely use help with funding. So if you want to help us out in that way, please consider us when you're thinking about your year-end contributions. So today I have two guests with me that I've had on the broadcast before. One of the things that really just burns me is how for the last more than 20 years, we have been seeing surveys that show that 75% of youth have been walking away from the church. And you lose your youth and you lose your country. You lose everything, basically. You lose the ability to have salt and light that sustains the nation. And we visited plenty of churches here in the last 4 years, and there's a lot of white hair in a lot of those churches, but a lot of them are lacking youth, which is very alarming to me. So we're missing it. And I've never heard this mentioned from a pulpit ever. And if you do mention this from a pulpit, wouldn't there be some sense of urgency? Like, hey, there's a big exit going on from the back door from our youth. What the heck's going on here? So today I have with me Sean Janung. He is my son. He is 30 years old. He just crossed the border from his 20s into 30 last summer. So, Sean, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
And I also have 22-year-old Rebecca Janung, who also works for the ministry. And, Rebecca, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So, and I'm doing this show, I call it Voices of Youth. We need to hear what youth are seeing and saying and going through, and they don't know what I'm about to hit them with. And so this week and next week, I'll be having these discussions with them. And so I'm going to begin with reading a headline from an article. Just came out a couple of days ago from the New York Post. OnlyFans top earner is a virgin and a devout Christian, but she has hauled in $43 million. This is from the New York Post, and the first couple sentences from the article says, the flirty Floridian, 20 years old, recently let fly with the stunning revelation that she's pulled down an astonishing $43 million in 1 year on the adult content site OnlyFans, all without having sex. So, Sean, we'll start with you. What comes to your mind when you hear this?
I think that's pretty shocking that you can have someone claim to be a Christian and then get money that way, that income that way. But it's also not too surprising because it's the state of where we're at in society, and there is I've heard that OnlyFans creators will just have teams of people, normally men, talking to people that subscribe to them. So they think they're interacting with the OnlyFans star, but they're actually interacting with a team of people completely disconnected from the OnlyFans star. So it's crazy the times we're living in, and there needs to be a change.
Mm. Becca?
I actually heard about that girl that you mentioned, but I did not know that she was a Christian. But I think that just doesn't seem morally correct. How could you basically sell yourself like that and still call yourself a Christian? That doesn't make sense. That is not biblical at all. Mm-hmm. It's sad for her to be doing that, and making that much money is insane. And who knows what she's doing with that money too. She's probably not using it for good things, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. So I think that doesn't make sense at all.
One of my concerns is there's a lot of mixed messages today, so that people are saying, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing this. And so what that does is that it justifies it. Like, hey, well, look, they're doing it, so maybe it's okay for me. How do you think that affects the culture with the mixed messages?
Makes it so you don't know what's truth. You don't know what to believe, and then that's where that phrase, this is my truth. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make sense, because if you are a Christian, there's only one truth, which is the Bible. So you can't be saying one thing and then going off another thing. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So another survey, Pew Research, found that half of Christians see no problem with sex outside of marriage. So does this piggyback on what we're talking about, Sean?
Yes, I think we've become a culture of labels, and we've lost meaning as a culture. So people find their meaning in sexual identity, pronouns, using Christian as a label as well, not really understanding what it means to have a relationship with God and to devote your life to Him. So that falls in line with that.
Becca?
I agree. All these labels that are now, it goes back to being, that just is not the truth, and it's confusing for a lot of people. And that doesn't, going back to your identity, you know, you think that you have all these identities, multiple identities, but you should really only have one, and that's through Christ, knowing your identity through Christ, which is the most important thing, and that's what your life is based on.
So she'll be talking about these issues in church, and are they being discussed in church? Youth groups, big church with the adults, what do you see?
I see many churches just giving sermons that are completely disconnected from what people are going on with these days, which it's all well and good to give a sermon on the Bible, but if it's not given in a way that's applicable and practical to what people are going through on the day-to-day, then there's not much use to it.
Mm. I've heard a lot of pastors say, I don't want to make you guys uncomfortable, but I'm going to touch on this, and they'll briefly touch on it. And it's like, that. We know this. This isn't making us uncomfortable. We need to talk about this. So I think it's very sad that a lot of pastors are probably scared to talk about it, too.
And you're 22 years old, so I know that down into the teens, they know the score of the game, right? They know this stuff, right?
Yeah. They're playing it.
Right.
They're in it.
So shouldn't this stuff be spoken openly to, I mean, talking about 14, 15, 16-year-olds?
You would hope, but it's not, unfortunately, from what I've seen.
Oh, churches should be much more forward and bold in their messaging on what's going on in the current culture of the world and what steps to take on how to address it and treat people that are suffering through those the lack of meaning that they pursue those sexual perversions.
So you guys both went to Christian schools, and now, you know, Becca's 4 years out and Sean 12 years out of school. What do you see? Where do you see some of your ex-classmates at this point? Where are they in life, starting with you, Sean?
Well, I've slowly gotten rid of my social media over the years, but over time I've noticed that as more of my fellow classmates went to college, I'd end up seeing pronouns pop up on their profiles. And I know one classmate of mine who was a pastor's kid who got arrested for carjacking an old woman at gunpoint near a mall. So clearly something's wrong with how kids are being raised in the church and in their families as well.
So what is wrong?
I think it could be coming from numerous reasons. It could be from kids not feeling safe to open up in their own homes to their parents, to the parents maybe being too busy to engage with them. The church is lacking the conviction or the will to properly guide their flock and educate them. It's a whole combination of things. It takes a village to raise a child, for sure.
Your take?
I agree. In similar stories of some of my classmates using pronouns, or they're coming out as homosexual. So similar stories, and I agree with, I know that a Christian school doesn't mean a perfect school, and there's always going to be problems, and you don't know how they're raised, but it is just shocking to see, I think.
So why is youth getting taken out so easily after they leave, high school? Not everybody goes to Christian school, and some of them are being taken out before that. So what's your take on what's going on here, that youth is being lost so easily?
Well, I think that going back to your identity, they don't know what to do coming out of school. You have the whole world now, and you don't know, if you don't know yourself what you want to do, you can fall easily into the what the world says is good and what the world says is okay. So if you don't know those biblical foundations or any foundations, really, morally speaking, it can be really easy to just get swept up into that.
And is being equipped with spiritual warfare or not being equipped a factor?
Definitely, I think so. It'd be, I think, very helpful if churches talked about spiritual warfare.
Your take?
Well, I think children aren't being, as she said, equipped to fight the warfare, they're also not being equipped to fight the doctrine and education that's being shoved down kids' throats, the multiple genders, it's okay to be whatever sexual identity you want. And you see a lot of churches now kind of embracing that it's okay to be sexually promiscuous or whatever sexual identity you want, that God loves everyone, which is true, but he doesn't love the sins that we commit. And to celebrate those sins is an affront to him. So yeah, that's the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this came off a church's website on the homepage that I found this week. And I'm going to read this quote. This is about their service on Sunday morning. And it says, "We start with a short concert for you with all our original music, which you will love. And then we move into a time of teaching, which is filled with lots of illustrations, props, clips, and even a bunch of laughter. All this is put in place so you will understand God and the Bible in a very way. On top of all that, our beautiful campuses have excellent programs for the kids and teens, resource centers with amazing educational tools, food courts, volleyball courts, basketball courts, splash pads, and so much more." So when you hear this, what goes through your mind, Becca?
Sounds like a YMCA, not a church. That all sounds fun and all, but where is that in the Bible? How are you going to equip people with games? Sure, you can have that on throughout the week, maybe, here and there, but don't make that your Sunday morning where it should be focused on Jesus and his word, and not how can we make this fun and inviting. I understand that they probably do want to make it inviting for everyone, but then it's kind of meaningless. Where's your faith in that? How can you grow in that type of setting?
In an entertainment setting?
Right.
Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah.
Sean?
I think that's a very surface-level way to meet people. Sure, it's important for Christians to fellowship and enjoy time with each other, but you also need to be encouraging each other and praying for each other and strengthening each other in the Spirit as well.
So on that note, this is from Isaiah 56:7. It says, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Are the churches you're attending houses of prayer?
I've never seen a main worship service that's house of prayer. I've been to some smaller groups, that young adult groups and the like, that where people do come together and pray together. But the main attendance of a church, that service, I've never seen be a house of prayer.
I agree. I've seen a lot of churches with prayer rooms, but I don't know how many people are attending those. And one church we went to started doing prayer 5 minutes throughout the service, but then they slowly stopped doing that.
And why do you think they stopped?
I think they noticed people might have not known what to do, maybe started talking throughout it, and it was only 5 minutes. So if people can't pray for 5 minutes, there's something wrong there.
Well, weren't they playing music too while that?
Yeah.
Prayer time was going on? Isn't that kind of distracting?
I think so. I think it can be hard to really focus and engage your intention on prayer. But I know that silence is uncomfortable for some people, so I know that that's probably why they do it, but it can be also distracting.
So you ever notice there's hardly ever silence in church?
Very little silence in church, that's true.
Why, do you think?
Because silence tends to bring out, to where you can flesh out your feelings and thoughts, and it's uncomfortable to go into silence, and praying is not always comfortable with other people, especially in the internet age where everything's online. So people don't even like talking to people anymore, let alone praying to the person next to them. Mm-hmm. And churches want to stay safe.
Safe?
Quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Define safe.
Giving people warm, fuzzy feelings, but not really helping them where they need it.
And growth comes in the gray zone, right? Growth comes in when we're uncomfortable, right?
Growth comes through pain, yes.
I don't think I could say it better than what he just said.
So if, what would it look, how would you feel if you went to a church on a Sunday morning and they actually spent 15 to 20 minutes breaking up with everybody praying? What would you think about that?
I would think that is a rarity that should be the norm. All churches should do that.
Not going to lie, that would also make me uncomfortable, but I think once you start doing it more, it can be very powerful and life-changing. Mm. So just getting through that first step of this is uncomfortable, this is different, I think a lot of people need to go through that and then realize that this is what the church is.
So you guys have used the word comfort several times. Is comfort, a focus on comfort, a big problem?
When comfort becomes the priority, yes, it can become a problem because it clouds everything else. It's just a thin mask over deep-rooted issues.
Mm. And it's also going off of your feelings, and your feelings are not what you should be going off of most of the time because feelings change. So you should be going off of what God says because that doesn't change.
Okay, another news article that came out a little while ago. Lamar Odom was an NBA basketball player. He played with the Los Angeles Lakers and Dallas Mavericks and other teams. And there have been moments where he's proclaimed to be a believer, a Christian. And there were pictures of him in a factory in Las Vegas, and that factory makes sex robots, and he had one made, custom made, to look like one of his former girlfriends. So when you hear that, what comes to your mind?
Gross. First thing, gross. That doesn't, I don't like that at all. That he claims he's a Christian?
He said that from time to time over the years, yeah.
That just gross to me.
That is horrendous, but it's also something else that's going on in the culture where people are trying to replace real relationships with synthetic ones. You have AI girlfriends coming out. You have sex robots coming out. People don't know how to relate to each other, let alone in a godly manner anymore.
Mm. And VR porn is coming out too, right?
Yes, that as well.
So we got about a minute left, and each of you take 30 seconds. What are we missing? Sean first.
I think we're missing relationships, and I mean this in a way that that is truly beneficial to each other. And I mean, you need to relate to God through your prayer life. You need to relate to each other and truly care for them, see where they're at, pray for them, learn about them. Don't go to church service and sing a song and then get preached at and then go home. Learn to build relationships with each other and with God.
Becca?
I agree. Connection and biblical truth, I think, is what we're missing a lot.
Elaborate more on connection.
What he said, real relationships.
And that should filter down into our youth groups too, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, my friends. We're going to continue this conversation with Sean and Becca next week. And let's stay on our knees and stay strong in prayer. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.